Look with me, if you will, in Joshua chapter 19. Joshua chapter 19. There are a lot of different cities that are mentioned here in this particular chapter. And what we have is the dividing up of the rest of the land to the tribes of Israel. The portion given to Simeon in verses 1 through 9. A portion given to Zebulun in verses 10 through 16. The portion given to Issachar in verses 17 to 23. And the portion given to Asher from verse 24 down to verse 31. And then the portion given to Naphtali in verses 32 down to verse 39. And then the portion given to Dan in verse 40 on down to verse 48. And then the portion that was given even to Joshua in verses 49 to 51. I'm going to do something a little different this evening in this message, other than just reading this portion and stumbling through a lot of these cities that are named here, but go through and highlight for you what I believe to be some important scriptures that we have in this portion. And the first we see in verses chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, where this is given to Simeon, and it says, "And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families." And the part that stands out, as we've seen in these other portions, is that their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. And so this message that I've entitled here, Heirs and Joint Heirs, this matter of having any portion with regard to the Lord. And of course, in verse 1 of Joshua 19, the children of Judah being a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, what a blessing that this tribe of Simeon should have its inheritance within that inheritance of the children of Judah, not separate, but within. And they had in their inheritance Beersheba, or Sheba, and Moladah, and it goes on down to describe those particular cities. But you come down to verse 9 again, out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Judah was too much for them, therefore the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. Whenever you think of what this typifies, to be named among the children of God, and to be able to have a part in that inheritance which was given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be named among those that are His inheritance, I can't think of a better blessing than that. Now remember that Canaan is not a picture of heaven. If it were, we'd be in trouble. And I know the hymn we just sang talked about going through Jordan's waters at death. But if Canaan is in any way a picture of what awaits us on the other side of death, it's not much of a happy place. It's not much of a resting place. There were enemies that lived among the children of Israel all throughout their years. There were those continued temptations away into idolatry that were very much a part of living in Canaan. But the picture of Canaan is what it is to live in this world. And this world lies in wickedness, and the men of this world lie in wickedness. And let's never forget that we are of this world. So when it says the whole world lies in wickedness, we have to say we ourselves are wicked. Every creature born in this world of the sons of Adam are born depraved and fallen and lie in wickedness. And it takes the grace of God to do a work in our heart to separate us out. And who maketh thee to differ? That's what the question is asked there in the Epistle to the Corinthians. We have nothing of which we can boast. None of these tribes that are given their inheritance here got it based on merit. And nothing in this life in which we live, where God has placed us, is given to us based on merit. It is given by the mercies of God and through His tender hand. And so, the one, as I read Scripture and come to a portion like this, that may be somewhat difficult sometimes when you're trying to read through the names of these cities, but look for some of these key words. Look for, in this portion, how many times the word inheritance is repeated. Because that's the key here. It's a reminder that all we have and all that we are comes from the hand of God, and is according to His purpose and will. And so that was the case for Simeon. It's the case for all of these here. When you look at verses 10 through 16, the lot that fell to Zebulun, although he was born of Leah after Issachar, if you go back and kind of look at their birth order, yet he was blessed by Jacob and Moses in his lot, in his placement before Issachar. It goes from Simeon to Zebulun to Issachar. And so even here, we cannot presume to predict how God is going to determine men's lots. The psychology talks a lot about birth order and how your placement in birth order determines somewhat your personality for life. There may be some truth in that, but ultimately it is God that determines our lot. It is God that puts us where we are. And such was the case here with Zebulun. And if you recall, in the New Testament, in Luke, when it talks about Christ coming, it talks about light that shone upon the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And here, this lot, thousands of years before the Lord Jesus Christ came in this world, was determined to be Zebulun's. And you say, well, what was so important about Zebulun? Well, it was here that Mount Carmel existed, and it was here that Elijah withstood the false prophets of Baal. So again, in this life, there's going to be those sorts of confrontations and conflicts. It's a picture of what it is to live in this world in the midst of all of this wickedness and men's idolatry. And yet, Zebulun in particular was where the city of Nazareth was to be placed and was to be found. And even though in this particular portion you don't find the village of Nazareth mentioned, you do find Bethlehem in verse 15. Don't know, not particularly the Bethlehem that where Christ was born, but there was a name at that particular time. None of these cities are very far away from the other in proximity, but Nazareth perhaps wasn't even named yet. It wasn't even in existence yet. And the point here is that the Lord established this land of Zebulun well before Christ came, and yet it was here that our Lord was to spend much of his time upon earth and to minister and the light of Christ to shine forth. So, again, a purpose. I know sometimes we can question or doubt the Lord's purpose as he places us in different parts of this world. And I'm sure that all of us at one time or another perhaps have had that struggle. But the truth that comes from Scripture is that our lot in this life is according to God's sovereign dictates. And as we saw in our lesson on Sunday in Psalm 75, promotion comes from the Lord and demotion comes from the Lord. He raises up one, he puts down another, and blessed be the name of the Lord. So every one of these, Issachar, Asher, Dan, the specific detail of how each portion was to be allotted. And again, notice all the way through here, verse 16, this is the inheritance of the children of Zebulun, according to their families, these cities with their villages. Verse 23, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Issachar, according to their families, the cities and their villages. In verse 31, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families, these cities with their villages. And again, in verse 39, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, according to their families, the cities and their villages. There wasn't a vote taken. There wasn't a contest run among them to determine their lot. It was an inheritance of the Lord. And even as we just read over in Acts chapter 17, if you want to come back there just for a second. Acts chapter 17. You know, why were we born here in the United States of America and not in some far out remote country that is steeped in darkness where the gospel is never preached? Certainly we cannot say it was because we're any better than anywhere else. And if the Lord has purposed to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ through the gospel, that's an inheritance. That's not a merit. It's not because we were any better than anyone else. Our skin color, our race, all of these things, we have nothing with which to boast. It's of the Lord. And this is Paul's declaration here in Acts 17 that we read just a little while ago in verse 24. Notice, God that made the world and all things therein. I think sometimes we feel like we have to explain God to people, but the scriptures just declare him. You don't have to define him, declare him. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Just as you look out there in the skies at night and look at the placement of all of those constellations and stars and galaxies, and then to think that there's just billions of light galaxies out there, and from what they can measure, the universe continues to expand. I don't have any problem with the Big Bang theory in the sense of it didn't just appear. I have a problem with that. But when God spoke this universe into being, such was the power and such was the extent of it and the immensity of it that it goes into infinity. That makes sense to me. There is what the world is trying to define, there is a power that is in this universe that is anything but an evolution. It is God himself, just like it says here, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. as much as we feel like these the problems of this world are overwhelming, when you look at even this globe from the viewpoint of a telescope out there and that they've placed up in the heavens to look back, it's just but a speck. I heard someone describe it one time in a book that said if you could take New York City and a light bulb that was in one apartment in New York City, that would represent the Earth, and then expand out from there to the rest of the world, that would be a small picture of what this universe is like, that light bulb represents the whole Earth compared to the rest of the world. We're amazed, even in looking around here, because we're finite beings, and yet the God that made these things, and as Paul says here, he dwells not in temples made with hands. How foolish for men to think they're going to build some sort of temple for which God is going to be pleased, that's a physical temple, when he's already built that temple. His Son, the body and flesh of his Son, was a temple built, a body thou hast prepared for me. And in him, in his Son, dwells the whole of the Godhead bodily. This one whom it says here, Paul says in verse 31, which God has appointed a day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. So all things that take place in this world, let's get it out of our minds that somehow this world's turning around us. It's not. It has everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the placement of these cities and tribes and the Lord in the Spirit mentioning them in the New Testament where Christ would come and live and walk, all of it had to do with what God had purposed for the bringing of his Son in this world and building his temple, which is Christ and his body. And that's why Paul said, although men there in Athens were enthralled with their little monuments of worship and their idolatries, neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and notice, hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So that's the lesson that we have here as we see even these portions given to these tribes of Israel. Would there have been some murmuring maybe on the part of some about their lot? Well, we know human nature. Our nature is to complain about our lot. We're happy as larks whenever the Lord gives us a certain amount of freedom, but when he restrains that freedom in any way and brings in the bounds of our habitation, we squirm just like the worst rebel out there. Such is our nature. And it's a reminder again of the Lord's mercies, that were he to mark iniquity, who could stand? Were he to even judge us based upon our complaints today, which he would rightly do if he were just to cast us into hell for our sin and unbelief and rebellion that is in this heart. But he doesn't. He grants us an inheritance in this life. And that inheritance is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are, I believe, some important lessons that we can gather from this portion. But when we consider what it is to be an heir and a joint heir, just three thoughts that I would leave you with here. Number one is that those who are heirs, and this, when you stop and think about Israel here, who were they among other nations? There's fighting going on still today over this very land, over the fact that the Lord took this land from the Canaanites and gave it to that nation of Israel and continues to preserve that little nation over there. You talk about God's faithfulness in the face of rebellion. There is a picture of God's faithfulness. But God promised There's some things we may not be sure of, but one thing we can be sure, he promised to preserve that nation even in its unbelief until the end of time. And I can't tell you how many nations have sought and still today would like to see Israel wiped off the map. Why haven't they? Why haven't they? You know, there's probably no more God-haters today than exist over there. Try going over there and preaching the gospel. Try going over into Israel. Right? You'd be arrested in Israel, just like you would in any other Muslim or communist country, for standing on a street corner and declaring today that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You would be silenced. And yet, the Lord in faithfulness said He would preserve that land. And, you know, Paul mentioned that. Has God cast off forever the people that He has foreknown? He said, God forbid. He said, I myself am a son, an Israelite, a son of Benjamin. So, in other words, in this mix, there are still those that the Lord has chosen and that for whom Christ has paid the debt, and that in time the Spirit will yet bring. It may not be in mass numbers, or it might be. We don't know how the Lord's going to be pleased to work. Just like here, when you look at these tribes, and as you read on in their history, the Lord placed them into this land and gave them this inheritance. It wasn't deserved and merited. In fact, as you read on, all of these went away in idolatry over time. All of them. But the Lord remained faithful. And through it, there was always that Joshua. There was always that Caleb. There was always that one whom the Lord, the Elijah. Even Elijah, praying against Israel in his day, it says. And yet the Lord opened his eyes to show him that there were 7,000 that he had that had not bowed the knee to Baal. And so we dare not judge things from the outward or appearance, whether it's history or whether it's even our own lives and what's going on around us. We have that expression that we use, the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, not the whole world. Because there's God's chosen ones throughout the world that Christ has redeemed, that He'll not lose one. You'll not lose one. But to be counted as an heir, that's what I want you to think of on as we wrap this up. Each one of the Lord's is an heir according to the grace of God. If you look over in Romans chapter 8, I truly believe that even though many of these were natural-minded people in their generation and lived in unbelief, they were blinded even in that day, yet the Lord preserved a seed. It may not have been there, but this child born to this one, this child born to this one, and then a generation later, the Lord caused one of His own to be born, raised up. He always preserved a seed, just like He has today. There is throughout the world that seed that the Lord has preserved. But here in Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now let me just ask you this, because this is not something that's just mystical. What is it to be led by the Spirit of God? Well, where does the Spirit of God lead a sinner? To Christ. You know, that's what we listen for. The bleating of a sheep is ever toward the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, quit trying to figure out whether the Spirit of God is in another. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Therein lies our hope. I can't live on another man's profession. I must know for myself. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. And if children, notice, if children, if indeed a child of God, then heirs. Already an heir. And the word heir means inheritance. And joint heirs with Christ. Anything that God ever gives to a sinner is for Christ's sake. Relate that back here to Joshua 19. What was the purpose for God even establishing these tribes in that land? It wasn't because Israel was better, mightier, more faithful. All of that is proven false. It's because God purposed to bring His Son through that nation and accomplish His purpose. And Christ would actually come thousands of years later and walk this very ground that was given through the hand of Joshua to this people, just like anything we have that has come through God's hand in Christ. And that's what it says here. If children, then heirs. If we were children, if we're children, then we're already heirs, heirs of God. And there in verse 17 can also be even joint heirs with Christ. Anything God gives to a sinner by way of mercy or grace comes through being a joint heir with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So that's an important lesson that we find here. But secondly, and I made reference to this a little earlier, got ahead of myself, but when you talk about being an heir, that means that each one's lot is according to God's sovereign dictates. Let's go back to Psalm 75 that we studied this past Sunday in our first hour of worship. Psalm 75. Notice in verse 3, and this would have been Asaph speaking of David's ascension to the throne, but he said, "The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. I said to the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn." Horn is a symbol of strength. "Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck." Now notice verse 6. "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." These lots that were given to these tribes here in Joshua 19, some might have thought, we got the mountains, so we're better protected because we're in the mountains versus those that are down in the valley. And each one settling in. But you know what? When it came time for, first of all, to have received the mountain, or to have received a lot next to the seaside, or to have received in the valley, or even in a desert place, each one was apportioned of the Lord. But when it came time for the Lord to judge, it didn't matter which mountain there was. All these tribes were taken away into captivity. And that's what I see here. It's the Lord's to give, it's the Lord's to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the only thing that we can be sure of is that any who are the true heirs of God, He does keep. He does preserve through it all. I marvel as much as anybody that I'm standing here tonight speaking to you of the grace of God when I look back over my life and consider how the Lord could have just let me go, but He didn't, even when I didn't know Him, and has kept me to this hour. Am I any better than that drunkard that's out there lying in the gutter? No. It's only by the grace of God that this has been my lot. And I've often said it. All the Lord has to do is change one little chemistry in the brain and we'd all be blithering idiots. We'd all be babbling fools. But for God keeping us. And so each one of us enjoys the lot that we have according to God's sovereign dictates. But the final point I'd have you to see, and again relating to these tribes given this inheritance in this land. Look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 3. Whether it has to do with our placement in this world, whether it has to do with our placement even in His body. Romans 12 and verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," notice, "according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And so, whatever our place in this life or even in this body, it says there in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. But notice, having then gifts differing," just look at each one of those sons of Jacob, how they differed. "Having then gifts differing according to grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." You say, what's the common denominator and all that? Well, verse 9, "Let love be without dissimulation," without hypocrisy. "Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." That's what it is to live in this community, the community of the body of Christ, and caring for one another, and praying for one another, upholding one another in that lot where the Lord has been pleased to put us. But it's all by His determining. And just as there was a lot cast, which determines our lot, if you will, in this life, in this world, so as you come back here to Psalm 55, and I'll close with this, Psalm 55, there is a casting of our lot upon the Lord. Notice here in Psalm 55, in verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." In the original, it's actually the word lot, to cast one's lot upon the Lord. In other words, commend to him our lot. And it says there, "He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." If we've been made heirs of God and join heirs with Christ, then no matter how this earth moves and shakes, we know it's God that moves it and shakes it. But He's placed us in this world that is going to be destroyed. This is not a permanent home, but our sure foundation in this world, in this life, is being in Christ and being heirs of God and joint heirs with Him. as it says there in verse 23, "But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in thee." When the Lord placed these tribes in Canaan, they were surrounded by vicious enemies, just like they are today. But our command is to trust in the Lord.